Welcome to the Ranking Revolution podcast, your go-to source for strategies and ideas for SEO, organic growth, content creation, and online business. I'm your host, Doug Cunnington. This is part two of my interview with Spencer Hawes. In the first part, we talked about his WordPress plugin called RankLogic and some of the details behind creating it, using it, especially if you're an agency owner. So if you missed part one, be sure to check it out. Part two is, I actually like part two better than part one. I'll be honest with you. It's like picking a favorite child, but I like part two a little bit better. We talk about the March core algorithm update, the impacts, the implications of manual penalties being handed out versus algorithmically actually ranking things and dealing with AI, and just kind of the state of the content site world. So really juicy conversation. I hope you enjoy it. I'm going to send it to the interview now. Okay, well, let's transition into the March algorithm update. And this was a big one. You've been doing this for longer than me. Is this the biggest update that you've seen from Google, do you think?
It's certainly one of the biggest announcements that they've ever made, right? Google made it very clear that this is going to be a big update. What I've seen, or what we've seen, is that the helpful content update was a much bigger update. So that maybe is the biggest one that I've seen in a long time. The March core update isn't quite finished yet, so we don't know the full impact, but it appears to have taken a lot of sites that got hit big with the helpful content update and just hit them even harder, which is unfortunate. And then, of course, all wrapped into this, we've got the spam update, the March spam update, which did finish rolling out, but the core update is still going on. So we had these two updates coming out at the same time, Google throwing us a curveball, trying to figure out which update is impacting your site or not. But certainly, I would say the spam update was the largest update appearing to target artificial intelligence content that we've ever seen. And maybe that's not saying a whole lot, because really AI content hasn't become a major problem for Google for more than, you know, the last year or so. But they've come out in a big way with the spam update to target AI content, including thousands of manual penalties, sites getting fully de-indexed, and a lot of other just volatility in the SERPs as a result.
It's crazy out there. Well, let's lay the stage a little bit too. So did you have a lot of niche and authority sites out there? Like I mentioned before, you're always creating new stuff, but if you could share, I guess, just like kind of what your portfolio looks like, or what it looked like, as much as you're comfortable sharing.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, so my portfolio is pretty small. I mainly focus on nichepursuits.com, growing the organic traffic there, and it's done really, really well. You know, it did great, you know, saw an increase in the helpful content update and all that. So I'm hitting record traffic levels there. And then I have one running blog that I've had since 2012 that really I haven't focused on much. It was more of a passion project. That site was hit with the helpful content update, but it was never really much of a moneymaker, right? It made maybe $1,000 a month or something. And then I do have one other sort of fun site that I created about a year ago that really is only meant to get traffic from alternative sources. So I never tried to rank in Google for it. It's not really an SEO website. And that's pretty much it for my portfolio. Yeah. So it's really Niche Pursuits is where I'm actively working.
Got it. And then both the site that you mentioned from 2012 and then the one that you created last year, those are private, right? You haven't shared those in any place, right?
I have not shared those, correct.
Okay, smart. Yeah, good.
And they're not...
Yeah, they're just a little fun.
They're not really making any money, a significant amount of money. So it's not like I'm not sharing them to kind of hide my niches or anything. It's just they're fun little projects that aren't, you know, really meant to be big money makers at this point.
Okay. And I'll mention my stuff too. So I started a new site maybe in like 2020, and that was the last new one that I started, and it was doing fine. And then I sort of lost interest and didn't do much with it. I had a couple writers working on it. And then when AI started getting a lot more impactful, maybe a year ago, I realized that the updates that I was doing and a lot of the work that I was doing with a real writer going through the SOPs and everything, it wasn't really moving the needle at all. So I was like, you know what? I'm just going to pause. I'm not super into it right now. So I think the site was impacted a little bit by HCU in the fall of 2023, but nothing huge. Like you said, I was only making a little bit of money and it was just kind of a fun thing on the side versus a primary income source for me. So,
right.
All right. You mentioned that one of the sites was impacted by HCU. Quick note, I'm curious about the site from 2023 alternative sources. So it was like most like social traffic and interest and other stuff like that. Any other?
Yeah, primarily Facebook traffic has been the strategy with the long-term goal of trying to get into like Google Discover. I haven't really moved beyond that. We started with Facebook and, but then Google Discover, Flipboard, we'll try other things when I have the time, but right now it's just Facebook.
Got it. You mentioned HCU and, you know, the big impact from 2023. And I guess HCU is now integrated into the, you know, the quote core algorithm, right? So no more HCU updates. It's just in the algorithm.
Yep.
A lot of people felt like HCU wasn't really improving the SERPs. What's your opinion? Did you think there were some good, some bad? Was it generally a bad update? Any generalization?
You know, it's interesting to try and separate myself as a user of Google versus trying to analyze Google as a professional, right? So I'm trying to think, like personally, like I don't know that I saw any difference. Like me just using Google, I didn't track, these kind of websites are showing up versus aren't showing up. But as a sort of more analyst diving deep into the results, I do feel like I'm not a fan of the changes that Google made. I think Google has really hit the independent creator very hard, which is not the headline that they want. You know, Google comes after independent creators. They try to bill themselves as supporting small businesses and supporting, you know, the individual blogger and creator, but what they did with the helpful content update hit the individual blogger. I think about and see so many quote unquote mommy bloggers or food bloggers that they spend hours and hours in their kitchen taking pictures, making recipes, and then blogging about it, and they've been just wiped out. And but instead, now we see all the large corporations, you know, the New York Times, the Forbes, the CNETs of the world doing really well. And so I'm not a fan of the changes that Google has made.
I tend to agree. And I had actually at least a couple instances where neighbors, non-SEO folks, just random civilian neighbors, right? They were talking about how they had trouble finding information and they had to go back to Google a couple times and they couldn't figure out what to search for exactly. And so I explained a little bit about the work that we do. And I was like, that's really interesting information. They're just normal people are like, I don't really know how to find the information. I found it before, but now I can't find it and I don't know why. So, you know, we know how to go back and search a little harder, but it happened twice. And, you know, the other, I can't remember who I was talking to, but they said that their mom, that they're roughly our age, so their mom is like in their 60s and called them and said, hey, I may have malware or something on my phone or computer. I'm getting all these Reddit results and I don't understand, is Reddit a scam site? Like they didn't know what it was. Right. And I know if you're on your phone, right, and you go to Reddit, it's, hey, install the app, which is always the red flag, right? I'm just trying to find information. I don't want to install Reddit. I don't know what it is.
Yeah, so, interesting.
So, yeah, I agree. And I've talked to and seen a handful of, you know, we see it on Twitter or whatever. But, you know, one other example is, you know, Matt Giovinisi, Swim University. He was hit by HCU and he's had this for 15 years. He's written all the content. It's he or his wife or his brother, right, that wrote the content. So I'm going to talk to him this week and I'll find out the details. But I think in March, his site recovered, but who knows? Because it's not done yet, right? The update is not done yet. So luckily, you know, he's diversified over the years. But to your point, like individual creators, like true businesses, he was shipping products, right? He had physical products. He has a presence on many platforms, but he still got hit. So it's like, what does Google really want?
Right. It's a time of uncertainty. A lot of bloggers and website creators don't know what Google wants. And all Google says is in return is, don't think about what Google wants. Think about what your user wants. And it's very frustrating because you give examples of Matt and, you know, I give examples of food bloggers that all they're doing in their kitchen working for hours is to present, you know, good content for their audience. But the way the audience finds it is they do a search on Google and they see it. So it's really frustrating. And just another side note, you know, Google has featured a lot of publishers and I forgot what it's called, but it's like Google Publisher Stories or something like that. These stories that get put on, you know, Google's homepage essentially to promote all these individual bloggers and they're making money with ads. That's kind of the angle of the stories. Like, hey, we're giving full-time income to these business owners because they have advertising on their website. It, you know, it promotes the economy. It helps individuals. Success stories. Well, a lot of those featured publisher stories, their sites were hit with the helpful content update. And it's like causing this, I don't know, but me staring at the sidelines, I think it's causing this headbutt of like this Google publisher success story team is saying, hey, SEO team, algorithm people, like you just crushed all our success stories. Like, so I don't know what Google's going to do. Are they going to change things? People were really hopeful that this March core update would roll back a lot of the helpful content update, but we've only got about another week to go and it does not appear to have been a lot of recovery.
Very devastating. I'm going to run with that. I didn't run across that story, but that sounds interesting. It sounds like a good YouTube video. Hey, it's Doug here, and I hope you're enjoying the show. Ranking Revolution just launched, so I'd love your support. Please subscribe wherever you're consuming this show. Leave a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. And if you're really ambitious, tell a friend, tell a neighbor, an enemy, anyone that will listen. And I appreciate your support. Oh yeah, sign up for the email list too. There's a link in the description and show notes. You're awesome and have a great day. You mentioned the manual penalties that were passed out. And I got caught up in that back in 2014. I learned my lesson with PBNs and all that stuff. You remember those?
Oh, yes. Sponsor. I sure do.
Good grief. Yeah. So, I mean, it's something to put a feather to put in our cap, right? Like we did it. We made it through. We got out on the other side. But like in this case, I think maybe you even created a video on this, but like Google could not detect what they were trying to get rid of. So they had to go and do this manually. No specific question, but do you have any comments on manual penalties versus algorithmic changes that impact someone's traffic or rankings?
Right. I think the quote I had was something like, you know, if Google's algorithm is so good, why do they have to manually penalize sites? And, you know, it's just sort of food for thought is like, okay, they've built their entire business on being able to algorithmically rank different sites. It's dangerous when you start getting humans to pick, oh, well, let's de-index that site and let's de-index that one. And, you know, are they doing it properly? Like, what's the procedure there? And so they can't do that at scale. So it just sort of makes you wonder why they're doing all of this. That's maybe just my only comment is I think it's been a scare tactic by Google to penalize a lot of, because a lot of SEO influencer sites were hit. And I wasn't involved in that, but I will simply say that the SEO influencers that were hit were definitely those typically on the more gray black hat side. So maybe they deserve to get hit. I don't know. I think there was a lot of collateral damage as well. A lot of people that did not deserve to get their sites de-indexed. So it's just this interesting conundrum that Google appears to be in when they start taking manual action with a internet that has millions and millions of websites on it.
It's crazy. Yeah, and I can't say too much, but I was hanging out with a Googler at a conference I was at recently, and you know, we were having a couple drinks, and he opened up, and it didn't fill me with confidence about what may happen in the future. I mean, that he didn't have any privileged knowledge or anything like that specifically, but I'll just leave it at that. I was like, oh,
yeah.
And he's like, yeah, this is a little crazy. So
yeah, it's interesting times indeed. So we'll see what happens.
It's so crazy. All right. Well, I'm pretty sure you created a video. I forget the name, but it was, hey, I wouldn't recommend people necessarily start a blog. Can you explain your thesis about that? And there's a lot of caveats, and we can go back and forth because I've been talking about this too. I mean, I haven't started a new blog in 4 years. So obviously, like, we're doing certain things in a certain way for a reason, right? So what's your thesis on that?
Yeah, I did. I published a video that essentially was like, don't start a blog unless you do certain things. But I made the case very strongly that you shouldn't start a blog expecting it to make money real quick, right? Like, starting a blog is probably one of the slower ways to make money, period, right? So you got to really love it. You really got to be in it for the long haul. Expect to work your rear end off for a year or two before you see much results. And there's so much uncertainty, like we just talked about with all the updates, that maybe it's just not worth rolling that dice. And so my whole thought about creating that video was like, if I were talking to my brother or my sister or my best friend and sat that down, I tried to be very candid in that video saying, I don't recommend you should start a blog. You shouldn't. And, you know, but unless you just have this itch, this urge to write and create and are willing to go through all of this risk. If you're looking for a way to make money on the internet, starting a blog is not the easiest way, right? And so the thought was like, why not start some other business, a real business, create a product, you know, create a software tool, follow my example, right? Like that's literally what I've done for the last 13, 14 years is like software has been my main business. You know, create something and then add a blog to that something, right? That's just going to, that's the smart way to go about business.
And I riffed on it, I think, on an email I sent out recently. And really, you know, a blog can be great if you want to write. It's a great way to clarify your thoughts. But you should treat it as a hobby, which basically means you don't necessarily earn money from it. If you really love it, there's a good chance you might earn money from it. But like you said, I wouldn't set out that way. It's just too volatile.
You know, I hate to steer anybody away. Like, just go in with your eyes open, because I do know people that have started blogs and you know, websites more recently in the last year that truly are hustlers. They're willing to invest money. They're willing to invest time, right? So there's the 1 or 2% of people out there, they're going to get it and they're going to nail it and they're going to do really well with the blog. But my best friend, my siblings, they probably aren't those people. So I would tell them, don't start a blog, right? If you're in the 98%, like, maybe start some other business to start with.
Yeah. And yeah, to your point, like, you've been doing software, right? So look at what Spencer's been doing, software. I've been doing podcasts. I started a new one. I have 3 currently, and I'm going to probably start talking more about that, but not necessarily as like a side hustle. It's more like, hey, you want to spread your message and you think audio and video is a good way to do it, then I can help you out. It's literally what I've been doing. I like it so much. I keep starting shows, even though I probably should just like chill with that. But, you know, you can see what we're working on. So I don't know. I think sometimes people, the make money online area is a treacherous part of the internet. The whole internet's very treacherous, but make money online can get a little funny. And it's been interesting to see who like sticks around, who navigates it and treats it professionally and not as kind of a charlatan. And I'm rambling on. No, again, no question, I'm the worst interviewer. Do you have any other thoughts on that, Spencer?
No, I agree with your point there is that, you know, there's a lot of ideas or people selling things, information, right, that will promise the world and you'll end up with not a whole lot. And so I think the smart path forward for anybody, whether it's starting a blog or a software tool or any other business, is really sit down and kind of do a one-page business plan for yourself. Truly think through strategically about why is your business or your blog better? You know, where are you going to get your customers? What problem are you solving? Think through it like a real business on a one page. And if you can convince yourself after thinking through everything, you know, then maybe move forward to the next step of trying to start it.
Any other thoughts on the March update or Google updates in general?
You know, I guess I don't envy the Google search liaison, Danny Sullivan, his position there. If you've follow him on Twitter or see his comments on Twitter, he's doing his best to sort of alleviate the pain that individual bloggers are having, but you've got a lot of shouting and yelling at Google, a lot of hate going towards Google, and he's trying to fend that off. And so there appears to just be this uprising of bloggers and individual creators. If Google hears the message, I don't know. And so I guess that's where I'll leave my thoughts in terms of the March core update, because we still got a week and a half before it's finished. People thought maybe it would kind of reverse some things. So far it hasn't, but you know, we'll kind of figure out what the path is forward with maybe the next update. I do think that Google does hear a lot of the chatter that goes on. And if it gets overwhelming enough, like they at least hear that. How that impacts what they change, I don't know, but they do hear what's going on.
At the end of the day, if the results are good, then, you know, Google will continue to be successful. People will use a search engine, but, you know, if my neighbors can't find what they're looking for, they'll eventually realize, oh, you know what? I'll use Bing or DuckDuckGo or whatever. I mean, Apple could have a search engine, roll it out on their devices. That'd be, I don't know, that's like 30% of, I'm just making it up. It's some pretty big percentage. It would change things dramatically. Like there would be specialists in like Apple SEO and they can just focus on that.
For sure.
So one thing I've thought of as I've, you know, kind of, I've lost a little faith in the SEO game, so to speak. And maybe I just don't have as much energy as I was, you know, in years past. But like, I like to think of the business plan that you described where you assume that there is no Google traffic. Like your business should function without Google traffic at all. And is that something that you would advise people to take into account or at least consider?
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. Yeah. I think that, you know, Google is one source of traffic. And if people look at it that way, I mean, there's so many millionaires created every year online that never get a single visitor from Google. There just are, right?
Yeah. Well, as we wrap up here, I know you launched a community recently. Can you talk a little bit about that and what the goal is with the community?
Yeah, I created the Niche Pursuits community. It's a premium community for people to come and mastermind together. We put people into small mastermind groups to really dive into their business and figure out the issues, talk strategies on a more, you know, small group basis, 3-4 people. But then also every week we're bringing in experts to talk about whatever traffic or business strategy they have. It's for it typically. So the community is generally targeted toward online publishers, niche publishers. And so far, we haven't really talked about SEO at all, right? The first two expert calls were about Amazon Influencer, something that I, you know, started about a year ago and has done very well. And then just today, we had another expert call with somebody that a lot of people know and talked about Google Discover traffic, which is different than SEO. And so going forward, I expect for at least the next year, we're going to be every week, we're going to be talking about different traffic strategies that do not include SEO. You know, Facebook's next. We're going to talk about Google Discover for about a month, and we're going to talk about Facebook traffic probably for about a month. Then we'll talk about Flipboard and Newsbreak and all these other places that you can get traffic to your websites that do not include Google organic sources. Because that's just, as we talked about for the past hour, that's kind of the sentiment in the industry. And so anyways, I've created this community for that purpose so people can come in, strategize, hear from experts, and really dial in their online business. And hopefully everybody can grow that business and be successful.
Who are the right people to join? So you mentioned like a lot of niche publishers currently, but is there a certain level, like a pure beginner or maybe more advanced, or where do you see that?
The people currently in the community are more advanced. You know, so we're attracting a lot of people that it's, you know, primarily their full-time thing, right? So they're doing really well, but we have a good mix. We have a good mix. So it definitely skews to people that are, you know, very successful, but we have a mix of some new people. I would say, maybe 100%, I'm not sure, I'd have to check, but 100% of people have a website making some money, right? I think that's just, we're not gonna teach you the ground level stuff. We're not gonna teach you to install WordPress and set up your website and, right? Like if you, no, you probably need to be just slightly above brand new beginner to get some value out of this. And the great thing is that we combine you based on your level of either income, experience, or where you're interested with other people in a similar spot as you in the mastermind. So if you're making $500 a month, we're going to find you people making $500 a month that have been at it for a year or two or whatever. So
got it. Perfect. Reminds me a little bit of Dynamite Circle from Tropical MBA, which I think, have you been on their show before?
A long time ago, I was on their show. Yes.
They've been around since like 2005 or something like that. Like
yeah,
early
long
days.
Time.
So, okay.
Yep.
Yeah, reminds me of that. So with your community, and this will be sort of the wrap up, but is there any minimum for people to join? It sounds like anyone can join because I know like Dynamite Circle, I think you have to make like 60 or 100K a year or something like that. There's a little application.
No minimum. Anybody can join. And so, yeah, they can just go to community.nichepursuits.com. People can join there, see if it's right for them, see if they're a good fit.
Very good. All right, cool. Well, Spencer, it's always a pleasure to catch up. Where should people find you? And we'll link up for all this stuff for people to check it out.
Yeah, probably the three best places to go, nichepursuits.com, my main blog. They can join the newsletter there. Second is YouTube. I've been, you know, putting out weekly videos there, youtube.com/Niche Pursuits. You'll find it.
Yeah, yeah.
And then Twitter at Niche Pursuits is another good place.
All right. Thanks a lot, Spencer. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Doug. Appreciate it.
It's always fun to catch up with Spencer, and I highly recommend you check out Niche Pursuits, his podcast, his YouTube channel, all the stuff. The community sounds pretty awesome, and I do credit Spencer with helping me get started. I followed his podcast and blog, and I first heard his interview with Pat Flynn in 2013, probably within a week or so of finding Smart Passive Income, and then started consuming Spencer's podcast and his blog, and it was super helpful. I can't overemphasize it. So super helpful. And I was on Spencer's podcast in like January of 2014, if that was right. And shortly after I was on the show, my site got hit with a manual penalty. So here we are a little over 10 years later and, you know, manual penalties were a thing. And it's one of those stories that most SEOs have, especially if they're testing the limits, right? There's something to be said of testing what is on the edge of acceptable. You have to deal with the consequences, of course. You have to understand the risk and what you're getting into. And actually, I think back to that episode, which I don't even know if it's still out there, right? It's highly irrelevant, 10 years old. In the SEO world or marketing, like a lot of this stuff has just changed. But I cringe to think what I said and how stupid I was back then. And I'm sure when I look back 10 years from now, I'll think, oh, Doug, you were really stupid in 2024. It's funny that you thought you knew what was going on. But that means we're growing. And it means we're learning new stuff and applying what we've learned and more experience and all that kind of stuff. Anyway, check out all of Spencer's stuff. It's always fun to catch up with him. And we'll catch you on the next episode. Thanks.